From earth to glory, I only ask to be like him.
Amen. Thank you for the music. Thank you, sister. Amen. Praise the Lord. I first want to thank you for praying for me and my family during this time. And I really appreciate it. Appreciate your thoughts. And just continue to remember my mom in prayer. It's a lot of hard transition she's going through. And so I just ask for you to continue to remember her in prayer. I'm going to be home for another couple of services, and then I have to leave and go back up there to help her with some more things. And you might wonder, well, why can't Sam do it? He's up there. Well, because I'm going to do it. The burden kind of falls, I think, sometimes on the elder son and to help out in those instances. So just keep us in your prayers. I appreciate it. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you tonight, Lord, and we're thankful, dear Lord, that to be here, and we're thankful, Lord, for your mercy and grace that allows us to come together, Lord, and to wait to hear from you, Lord, and with the confidence knowing, Lord God, that we haven't come to hear from a man or man's wisdom, but we've come to hear from God and the power of God. We ask, dear Lord, that you would be with us now, Father. Direct us in this little teaching, Lord God, that would be a help and uplifting to the people, we pray. For your glory, in Jesus Christ's name, amen. While you're standing, if you could turn me in your Bibles to James chapter 5, I'd like to read from start with verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another. That means complain not one against another. Brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by a space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. You may be seated. What I'd like to speak on for the next few moments tonight is the patience of Job. The patience of Job. At Kadesh Barnea, Brother Branham says, he's referring to Hebrews 12 and 1, he said, "This was on my heart," talking about what he preached. "This was on my heart, Now it's on your hands. You've got to make your decision. Lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset you. What is that? Lay aside every weight and the unbelief that does so easily beset you. What does it mean, so easily beset you? What so easily discourages you in your walk with the Lord? There are things that we deal with that are the things that may seem, sometimes they may seem real big, but they're just things that so easily beset us in our race. They hinder us in our race. And those things are the things we need to lay aside. And I'm not talking about sins that many people think of. I'm talking about just everyday things that so easily beset us. Unbelief, any unbelief that so easily besets us. And run this race with patience that's set before you. That's something we've got to keep in mind. We're running a race. And we've ran for many years now, some of you more years than others. And you know what? Now's not the time to stop.
Amen.
Now's not the time to quit.
Praise the Lord.
Now's the time to run it with more patience than what we had started the race with. When we started the race, you were babes. Now you should be mature. So we should be able to run this race with patience, endurance. Amen. Looking at not everything that goes on around us or everything that's said around us, but looking at what the end goal is. Amen. Now, Job did the only thing that anyone else could do. That was, Job stayed with the word. Job lost his friends. He lost his associates, his neighbors, and those, what was considered maybe to be his brethren from the church, came and they criticized him, said that he was hiding some secret sin, and that's why that all these things were befalling him. And they could look and see, look how pitiful you look, Job.
Right.
You got boils all over your body. You're scraping the boils off, and you're sitting on the ash heap, and you've lost, your children have all died. And you've lost all that you had and all you own. God must be upset at you.
Right.
That even his own wife said to him, his own wife, Brother Bram said, turned on him, turned against him, and said, why don't you just curse God and die? But see, that was the whole challenge that Satan had gave to God, that he believed he could get Job to curse God. And you know, Brother Bram says, one day Satan took a notion. I think I've been there, have you? When Satan's took a notion to set against you, and it seems like just one thing after another, you think, is it going to stop? Is it going to end? I can remember some years ago going through something. I hadn't been here pastoring very long, and going through a really hard time, and I even prayed and said, God, can you just let it let up a little bit? This is getting pretty hard. And looking back at that time, well, that was a piece of cake. I had no idea just how hard and rough it was going to get. But we've come through it. We're still together. I believe we're also together anyway. I'm not hearing a whole lot of amens. Any man that comes to God and stays, makes his stand on God's word, then God's obligated to that man.
Right.
Brother Bram says in the message of fellowship, said, God's always faithful when he's when we're coming God's provided way. See, that's the key right there. Coming his provided way. God's got a provided way for us to come and approach him. And an approach outside of that, God doesn't have to honor it.
Amen.
Job said, I've made my confession. I have burnt the offering. That's exactly what God required. He worshiped God under the shed blood. And all of a sudden, then the Spirit come upon the prophet and the thunders roared. The lightnings flashed and he said, I know my Redeemer liveth. And in the last days, though after the skin worms destroys this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself. Not another will see him, but I'll see him for myself. Job, through all of the trials that he went through, and all the criticism he went through, in the end, God came and opened up a revelation to Job that Job had no conscience of before. Job stayed under the blood with the word. That's it. Under the blood with the word. No matter, now listen to this. No matter how dark it gets, just keep going on. No matter how dark it gets. There's times it gets dark. There's times that it gets very discouraging. There's times when we feel like just stopping.
Amen.
But Brother Branham says, no matter how much it gets to feeling that way, just keep going on.
Amen.
Why? Because the prize that we got waiting on us is much greater than anything we're facing. You not think that Satan is, he's not above trying things to get you discouraged, to get you to quit, get you to fall out of this race. I remember when I was in the Army, why every Friday we would, the platoon sergeant would take our platoon on a run. He called it Tour of the Town. And we got to see the whole town while we were running on a Friday. We ran 10 miles that morning, came back and had to go to work. And, but I can remember people that there were soldiers that, would fall out at certain places along the run and walk back to post, take the shower, and be ready for the next formation. And there were some you could kind of count on that would fall out. And you knew they were going to. Some of them fell out. As soon as we left the post, they fell out. Fell out of the run, and you know, they would just slowly slow up and drag behind until all of a sudden the platoon was far enough in front of them that they could just turn around and go back. Maybe nobody noticed them. But I don't think our platoon sergeant was naive. I believe he knew everyone that fell out and where they fell out and why. But you know, I can remember on those runs because it, where I was at there in Germany, it was a very hilly country. And we had to run up some of those hills, and running up the hill was hard, but believe it or not, running down the hill was murder. Because sometimes it'd be steep, and boy, I tell you, it would jar your very teeth as you was running down the hill. And but it wasn't an easy run. It was hard. And some of it was running on those old cobblestone streets. And I can remember the feeling of wanting to quit. I can remember feeling like I wanted to stop. I remember watching others fall out and think, why am I not doing that? Maybe I ought to do what they did. Maybe I ought to just quit and go on back and take a shower and go on to formation. Nothing, no one don't want to be the wiser. But you know who would have been losing out? Me. Because all those that fell out of that run, you know what it was? They weren't keeping in shape. And the more times they fell out, the worse shape they got in.
Amen.
To where, you know, they couldn't have made the run if they had tried. Because they had not built up that endurance. They had let it go. Friends, look, We're in this thing to finish. It don't matter how you started. It don't matter how long you've run. We're in this thing to finish it. And there might be times we might feel like just stopping the race, falling out of the run, as the illustration I'm giving tonight. But this ain't no time to be doing it. If you do it, the only person you're going to injure is yourself. Well, so-and-so said this or that about me. Who cares? What did Jesus say about you?
Amen. Amen.
Who cares what somebody else says? It's time we can realize where we're at. What is our primary motivation or goal anyway? Is it to finish this thing? Is it to serve God in the face of everything? Is that what's first in our lives? That's what should be first in our life. No matter how dark it gets, just keep going on. Hold to God's unchanging word. Go right down. If you hold the word, you've got his hand. In the message of I heard, but now I see, Brother Bram Sisson, talking about Job, said, this man being a prophet, he had access to God's grace. But Job didn't have a Bible to read. The Bible wasn't wrote then. But he had access to God by revelation and by vision. Job didn't have a Bible. We do. So we should be all the more able to endure. Not only did we got the Bible, but we've got the revealed truth of this end time age. The word has been opened to this bride. All the more reason we should be able to endure. All the more reason we should be able to have the patience of Job. Now we find out and take some of his life when God blessed him and made him a great man, why even everybody respected him, even to his wisdom, and had become so great. His inspiration from God had vindicated him to be God's servant so plainly until people come from everywhere to hear him. And then Satan began to accuse that man. That's the way he does every inspired servant of God. Satan's always there to accuse him of everything that he does that's not right. Something really caught me about the way the prophet finished that. He didn't just say that Satan accuses every inspired man. But he says, of things that he does that's not right. We're human. We are subject to mistakes, every one of us. But Satan being the accuser of the brethren, he's there to accuse us of those mistakes. But you know what? You know what mistakes mean to God? Nothing. Because if you're a real child of God, you'll get right back up. You'll identify that, you know what? That was sin. And confess your sin. And he says that we've got an advocate with the Father, that if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. And we find out in his life and trials, his great faith. Even the Bible says, have you not heard of the patience of Job? Faith waits with patience for the promised word to be fulfilled. What's his promise to us? That he would take care of us. That he will see us through, that he will finish this good work that he started. That he'll not put on us more than we can bear. But I've come to learn through experience that you will get put on you what you can bear. Now, there are times when people will look and they'll think, well, if all these things is going wrong with you, somewhere you must have got off the will of God. Somewhere you must have got on God's bad side. Maybe God's got something against you. Maybe the Lord's trying to teach you something. Well, he's always trying to teach us something. But it might not be because you've done anything wrong. Job hadn't done anything wrong. Brother Bram says, sometimes that's not right because God chastens every son that comes to him. He cleanses him and purges him and tries him to see if he will stand. Now here's the thing. God knows whether you'll stand or not. He's not trying you to necessarily see, well, I'm going to find out whether he'll stand or not. God knows. Just the same as God knew that Job, no matter what the devil did, God knew Job would not curse him. But he told Satan, go ahead. Satan said, you got a hedge around him. Well, no wonder he won't. No, nothing can touch him. You got a hedge built up around him. Boy, I tell you what, how I long to have a hedge built up around me. But Job, God said, I'll remove the hedge. You can do whatever you want, but you can't take his life. Well, Satan took everything else. Job, I tell you this, I don't believe there's one of us that's had it as bad as Job had it. You might say, well, I think I'm coming pretty close. Well, praise God then. You should also be coming close to the patience that Job had. He tries to see if we'll stand. That's what he was doing in the time of Job. Job, that's the oldest book in the Bible. How many knew that? Job's the oldest book in the Bible. Job was noted for his patience and endurance, Brother Branham said. He endured to the end. Noted for his endurance, holding out in the face of oppositions. His neighbors saying, see, you got some sickness now. You've been sinning secretly. Job said, no, I haven't. I've confessed all my sins and made a burnt offering. And I haven't sinned secretly. See, Brother Branham said, but God was dealing with a saint there. That's how God deals with us. God will allow things to come our way. What is it? It's molding our character. I can show you that by the scripture here in a few minutes. Brother Branham goes on to say here in this message, glorify Jesus. Every son that cometh to God must first be child raised, spanked a little, let things go contrary. You ever have that? All that cannot bear those things are illegitimate children and not the children of God. If a man ever saw him in his heart, knowing Jesus raised for his justification, accepted the same on the basis of the blood of the word, put trials upon him, nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Those whom he has called, he's justified. Those whom he's justified, he's already glorified. And listen to this. And in the presence of God, when you accept Christ as your Savior, there's a chair set for you at the wedding supper. Amen. There's a chair sitting there waiting for you at the wedding supper.
Hallelujah.
You ever been to one of those wedding receptions where they got the name tags on where the seating are? And you got to look down and find out where you're supposed to be sitting. You've got a specific place to sit. There's a specific chair reserved just for you. There's a name there. It's got your name on it. Amen. It says Wayne Roberts. And that's where you'll sit. It's there. Think about that. Well, I don't know. I just about can't contain myself when I get to thinking about it. There's a chair reserved for me there. I've got a place there with my name on it. That means they're expecting me.
Oh,
That means they're expecting me. Amen. I've got a reservation. Hallelujah. He said, stick your feet under the table at the wedding supper and eat the supper with the Lamb. Amen. Now, there's another person in the Bible that is really noted for their patience and endurance, and that's Abraham. Abraham was given the promise, and he waited. And you know, when Abraham was given the promise, him and Sarah were old already. And then they tarried on for another 25 years waiting for the promise. Just growing older. In other words, it looked like they were growing further and further away from the possibility of the promise coming to pass. But Brother Branham says, but one day, three men come walking. Because Abraham had patience. Because Abraham endured, three men come walking to meet him. And said, one of them was God himself, and the other two were angels. And they came, and when Abraham saw him coming, he said, my Lord, if I have found favor in thy sight, why don't you tarry with me a while, eat some cakes and some milk. And Brother Branham said, Abraham went off to tell Sarah, hurry up and go get some meal and start making some cakes. I'm going to go kill a fatted calf. And said to make ready a meal for them to eat. And he said there, he invited them to sit under the tree in the shade while they ate. And Brother Branham said, I don't know, maybe Abraham took a piece of brush and was shooing the flies away. And they sat there and ate with Abraham. And the reason they came to visit is because Abraham had the patience to endure. And while they were there visiting, the Lord says, where's Sarah, thy wife? He said, she's in the tent behind you. And he said, I'm going to come and visit you about the time of life, and Sarah will have a son. I like that. I believe we've had one to come visit us in this day. And just as the Lord sat there that day with his back to the door of the tent and said, why did Sarah laugh? And she had just laughed in her heart. She didn't laugh out loud. Brother Branham said, if he be the same God that appeared there before Abraham, let's see if he's the same God. And Brother Branham turned his back to the group, to the audience, and begin to call them out and tell them what they had and where they were from. He turned back around and he said, is he not the same God that appeared to Abraham? He's appeared again in this age. Friends, look, we are of all people without excuse to not endure. Because we have seen the glory of God. We have witnessed it. Some has witnessed it in person. Others have witnessed it through hearing of the tapes, but it's still just as true. The word's been open. How the much more of endurance we should have. We of all people should be a very enduring people. Sure, we're human. Sure, Satan comes and his job is to try to discourage us. And we're human, and if we'll get to listen to that, then we'll get to feeling a little discouraged. But that's the problem, is we go to listen to him. The only one we need to be listening to is God. Turn me to Revelation chapter 2, verse 9. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. He that overcome shall not be hurt of the second death. Brother Branham says in the Church Age book, he said, the Lord God Almighty says, I know. There he is walking in the midst of his people. There he is, the chief shepherd of the flock. But he does not hold back the persecution. Does he stem the tribulation? No, he does not. He simply says, I know thy tribulation. I am not at all unmindful of your suffering. What a stumbling block this is to so many people. Like Israel, they wonder if God really loves them. How can God be just and loving if he stands by and watches his people suffer? That's what they asked in Malachi. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet you say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob. And I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. You see, they could not figure out God's love. They thought God's love meant no suffering. They thought that love meant a baby with parental care. But God said that his love was elective love. The proof of his love is election. That no matter what happens, his love is proven truly by the fact that they were chosen unto salvation. Because God had chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, he may commit you to death as he did Paul. He may commit you to suffering as he did Job. That is his prerogative. He is sovereign. But it's all with the purpose. If he did not have a purpose, then he would be the author of frustration and not of peace. His purpose is that after we have suffered a while, we would be made perfect, be established, strengthened, and settled. As Job said, he put strength in us. You see, he himself suffered. He learned obedience by the things that he suffered. He was actually made perfect by the things he suffered. Hebrews 5:8-9, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. In plain language, the very character of Jesus was perfected by suffering. So if Jesus' character was perfected by suffering, then that's what our suffering is about. It is perfecting our character. When Christian babes begin to suffer, they whine. They complain. They make noise about it. You know they're suffering because they're making noise about it. But as we mature, as we grow in the word, as our character is becoming more perfect, as our character is being built and growing through the things we suffer, as that character reaches that place, there should be a place where, though we're suffering, we are encouraged.
Yes, amen.
And according to Paul, he has left a measure of suffering that for the church, that they too, by their faith in God while suffering for him, would come to a place of perfection. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire and wanting nothing. What do we do when we're going through these testing times and these trials? What do we do when we're facing hard things? What do we do when there is things that we look at and say, that's legitimately discouraging? Legitimately, that's discouraging, makes me want to quit. What do we do about it? Pray about it. The Bible says let me just read back to it. Any among you afflicted, let him pray. Many times we associate that afflicted with affliction of sickness, but that's not what it's saying. It's saying if any of you are afflicted, anything that is afflicting you, what do you do? Pray. And then it goes on to say, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Do we pray about every situation? Before we make a decision, do we take it to God in prayer? Lord, I feel like quitting, Lord. You know what? Let me just help you with this. There's been times I felt like quitting. Amen. There's been times I felt like quitting pastoring this church. Amen. There's been times when it's been very discouraging. Amen. But you know what? I've got to have patience. The patience of Job. Right. Knowing that God sent me here to preach his word.
Yes, he did.
And that we are a people that God's getting ready to go and leave in a rapture.
Yes, sir.
And that sooner or later, every one of us are going to come to whatever it is God's bringing us to.
That's right.
Which is that perfection of character.
Amen.
We're all going to come to that.
Yes,
each and every last one of us. Why? Because we've got to be able to leave out of here. And I'm going. I'm going in this rapture.
Amen.
I've got a place reserved for me at the table of the supper of the Lamb.
Yes, sir.
They're expecting me, and I want to be there. Amen. And that's what I'm looking forward to. And I know that each of you that have a place reserved there, you're going to reach that perfection of character so that we can all leave out of here. Do you realize that we that are alive and remain at the resurrection, do you realize we are going to be caught up together?
Yeah.
You think you're just going to gather yourself, your little selves, to your loved ones that is resurrected? I beg your pardon. We're going to all want to be together. I believe that this little group right here that we'll be able to reach out to one another and get together.
Amen.
I believe there's a time we'll be here, like the prophet said, after the resurrection of the dead.
Uh-huh.
But that the people of the world, they won't be able to see us any longer. We won't be visible to them. We won't be where they can contact us. Yet we will be able to contact one another.
Yeah.
I won't have to worry about what kind of vehicle you got because we'll be able to travel like a thought. And the prophet will be resurrected too, and he ain't going to need no airplane. Why would you want to travel on something as slow as an airplane when you could travel like a thought? I don't know how much of a gathering there'll be, but I know this. If we're going to be here in Dixon for 30 to 40 days after resurrection, I'm not going to go 30 to 40 days without seeing y'all.
Amen.
There might be some here that don't have a loved one that's going to resurrect and come visit them. So somebody's got to do it. So don't think you got You've got special dibs on your loved one.
Come on. That's right.
I've got loved ones.
Yeah.
And I don't know. They've got a lot of folks to appear to, I figure. I don't know how it's going to be. I really don't.
Right.
But I know this. I know that we're not going to just stand off in our little old corners.
No, sir. Oh, my. Come on, preach.
We've got to be united here.
Amen.
The Bible says we'll be caught up together.
Lord,
not individually, but caught up together. Now, I'm not saying we're going together with everybody in the United States and we're going together with all around the world. I'm not saying that. But I don't think that I'm just going to spend 30 days out on Plunder's Creek. I think it'll get next to me. I want to go see some of y'all. I ain't never seen Brother Todd with hair. I might want to see what he looks like. Amen, brother. Amen. I'm looking forward to it.
Amen.
And I believe we're getting closer to it. I believe we need to take things to prayer of what we're going through.
Yes,
take the things to prayer. When's the last time you prayed for the church? I'm not asking you to tell me. I'm just asking you to ask yourself. When's the last time you prayed for the church here? When's the last time you prayed for one of the services?
Yes.
I think we ought to pray for every service we're coming to.
Amen.
You know there's people in Ohio that every time they have service, pray for your service here. It's a shame if we ain't praying for it when there's other people that are that don't even come here. When's the last time we prayed for it? When's the last time you prayed for the preacher? Sometimes we complain about the preachers. Did we pray for him? If you didn't pray for him, then you ain't got no room to complain. Do we pray for our brothers and sisters? Do we pray for each other?
Amen.
How much of a prayer life do we have anyway?
Come on now. Amen.
We want to be able to have the patience of Job. It's only going to come through prayer.
Amen.
Prayer is the most powerful weapon that has been given to the bride of Jesus Christ. Brother Bram said it's more powerful than an atomic bomb. He said prayer is so powerful it can change the mind of God.
Amen.
Now that's saying something.
Amen.
Pray about things. I've had people call me over the years. Some of them no longer here with us. I remember one individual, he's not here now, but it seemed like he used to call me all the time over something's going on in his life. And every time I would say, have you prayed about it? One of the times he called me before I could even ask him the question, he said, and no, I haven't prayed about it. Because he knew I was going to ask him that. No, I haven't prayed about it. I said, well, don't you think that's what you need to do? Pray about it. Look, I don't know if you know this or not, but God can do a whole lot more about it than I can. I'll do all I can, but he can do a whole lot more than I can.
Praise the Lord.
So I think we ought to talk to him about everything we got going on. There's things that goes on in our life that sometimes we don't go talk to him about it. Well, if we're not talking to him about it, who are we talking to about it? We don't need to talk to one another about it. We need to talk to him about it. We don't need to talk to family about it. We need to talk to him about it. I don't go up to Ohio and get up there and say, hey, y'all gather around. I want to talk to you about the church at Dixon and the problems I'm having. No, I pray about it. I pray for you. And I commit things to the Lord because he's the only one that can do any amount of change in any of us. Ain't gonna do me no good to talk about it with somebody else. I need to talk to God about it.
Amen.
You need to talk to God about what's going on.
Amen.
You get the feeling, well, I don't know how Brother Jerry feels about me. Talk to God about it. And then after you talk to him, then go ahead and give me a call. If you're still not satisfied, go ahead and give me a call and say, brother, straight up, I want to ask how you thinking and feeling about me. I'll tell you. Be ready. I love every one of you. And you know what? I believe that every one of you that God has given me, I believe I can say just like Jesus, I'll not lose a one.
That's right. Hallelujah.
Except the son of perdition, which he lost. We might lose some of them. But all that God's given me, the real believers, I don't believe we're going to lose one of you. God put us here together. You're stuck with me. And I'm stuck with you. So we might as well pray for one another. Amen. Brother Branham says, and I'm going to say this in closing, Brother Branham says in the message of Victory Day, he said, have you not heard of the patience of Job? Job went down in the harness. Y'all know what that means. Job went down in the harness. Abraham went down in the harness. Isaac went down in the harness. Joseph went down in the harness. And Joseph said, don't bury me down here. Bury me up here. See, bury me up here with my fathers. Bury me the way they were buried, the word, the plain they was buried in, the place where they were buried in. That's the same thing with me. That's the reason I want to be buried in the name of Jesus. For those that are in Christ will God bring with him when he comes. I want to be buried in the name of Jesus. We have been buried in the name of Jesus. You know, I was just thinking about how the Bible talks about that old man, and we talk about burying that old man. And the other day I was thinking about how my dad had passed, and I was thinking about how ill he was in his different things he suffered in his body. And when I saw him, I wasn't prepared when I saw him this time to see how feeble he had gotten. He had got real feeble. And then he died, you know, and we had his funeral. We buried him. And I guess I've been down here in Tennessee long enough that I stayed there to watch him put the dirt on. It's not something they'd commonly do up there in the north. But I stayed around, and so my mom stayed with me. Sometime later, it was a week or two later, Mom wanted to go up there and put some flowers on Dad's grave. So she picked some roses from around the house and put them in this little thing you can stick in the ground. And we carried him up there. And you know what? When we got up there, that old man that we buried was still buried. I think that's the way we need to do with our old man. Leave him buried. Don't go digging him up. And don't go digging up nobody else's old man. You bury him, leave him buried. Sometimes we go to digging up things on one another that don't even apply anymore. I'm glad y'all don't know my old man. I'm glad he's buried and y'all never got to meet him. Because I don't like talking about him. I'm not proud of him. I like to see what God's doing now and take pride in that. I want to see what God's doing in each of you. There's many of you, I didn't know you before you came to the Lord. And you know what? I don't need to know you before you come to the Lord. I like you now. I like you now, knowing you that you've come to the Lord and seeing your fervency in the way you serve the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's stand.
Praise the Lord.
Heavenly Father, it's been good to be in your house tonight. Lord, we've brought just a simple little message, dear God, to try to be a help and encouragement to the people. Lord, for we're fighting a battle, dear God. We're, Lord, looking to overcome all obstacles of the devil, Lord, that he would lay in our way and all discouraging things, Lord, and things that would hinder us, Lord. We want to lay them aside. We want to run this race with patience, Lord, seeing that we are, Lord, have such a great a cloud of witnesses. Lord, as is spoke of in Hebrews chapter 11, all the witnesses, Lord, who died in the faith. Lord, now we live in the faith. Lord, seeing, Lord God, these things, we want to, Lord, let you come and, Lord, build the character in us, Lord, to that place of perfection, Lord. For, Lord, we're longing to reach that place where we're ready for you to come. Lord, where we're ready for the coming of the Lord, and you're making us ready, dear God. I ask you to bless your people now. Many of them, Lord, have work tomorrow. I pray you be with them, Lord, on their jobs. Protect them, watch over them. Bring us all back here safely, Lord, at the appointed time. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Let's sing "To Be Like Jesus."
Yes.
To be like Jesus. To to be like Jesus. Jesus, to be like Jesus on earth alone, to be like him all through life's journey, from earth to glory. So glad that I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain. I'm cleansed by His blood and joined with Jesus. As we travel in the song, I'm a part of the family of God. Well, I'm so glad that I'm a part of the family. I'm cleansed by His blood and joyous with Jesus as we travel this night. For I'm a part of the family. Family of God. Oh, I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, and joined with Jesus as we travel this song. So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. So glad your mercy has followed me. So follow me. that you found me. Oh, and you set me free. I'm so glad that I'm yours. So glad I'm yours.
Sing How Great Is Our God, G.
How great is our God? Oh, how great is His word? And He's the greatest one that ever was heard.
Of the mighty Red Sea.
days. I love him better every day.
I'd like to say I'm thankful for all your prayers over the weekend. You were gone. We didn't quite get accomplished all that we had in mind, but the Lord gave us the desire of our heart. We were at Ray Erickson's for church Sunday, and they had special meetings last week. Donnie Reagan preached, I think, Wednesday, and then Wayne, I don't know his last name, but we knew him. Probably was. We knew him. He preached, tapping into the unlimited resources. Yeah, it was really good. And then they even had foot washing in the afternoon, so we were there for that too. So we didn't get to Michigan like our plans were. We had a little trouble, but the Lord gave us the desire. Thanks for your prayers.
Amen. Let's be dismissed this time. I have Brother James dismissed this place.